Come on in, boys. The water's fine. And so as we thank you all for sharing and singing for us this morning. We're in Romans chapter 10, as Andrew had read at the beginning of the service. But it says that it's my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is their salvation. So who's Paul talking about here? Right? Initially, he is talking about his fellow Israelites, the Jews, the Old Testament children of God. I believe this is an essential thought for us to consider, especially during some of the upheaval going on in the world today. We see some inaccuracies on the news. I know, it's not all real. Even some inaccuracies on church signs that we need to be aware of. There's one not too far down the road over in the Leo area that says the Jews are the chosen people of God. Well, Scripture tells us it's those who choose to be obedient that are the chosen children of God. And so what Paul is saying here, I hope that those people would understand, because as Paul is saying to the Israelites, to the Jews, to the chosen people of God in the Old Testament, here in Romans, he is saying that he is praying for their salvation because apparently they're lost. They are needing to be saved, which means that they are currently in a state of separation from their Maker. And it's not because I say so. It's because the Bible tells us so. The Bible indicates as such. How do I know that? Because Romans 3:23 says, "For the Gentiles have sinned and fallen." No. "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, whether Gentile or Jew, have fallen short of the glory of God. All come to Christ today in the same manner." So many times we get into discussions, we get into debates or arguments about whether we're saved by grace. I'm here to let you know, Church of Christ, here this morning, that yes, indeed, we are saved by grace. I get into discussions with some of the kids at school, and they'll be like, "Well, I believe you're saved by grace." And they almost fall off their chair when I say, "And so do I." Because if it was not for the grace of God, not a one of us would have a chance. That is the unmerited favor given to us through our Creator. Saved by grace through faith in Christ. Again, it's only Scripture, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." It is the gift of God. There is not a one of us here that deserves to be saved. There's not a one of us here that can do anything on our own merit to be saved. It is the grace of God, His unmerited favor, that He has even given us the opportunity to be able to approach Him through salvation. And that comes through Jesus Christ. And so what is Paul talking about here? This salvation that we see in Scriptures, and you know, I've come to this, this is how I'll share, you know, somebody will say, "How, this is the most important Scripture in the Bible," and they'll give me a passage. And You know, I've come to this understanding as well. It's kind of like songs, because I used to really get wrapped up in songs on what they would, how they would say, what they wouldn't. And I've come to this conclusion about songs and about Scripture. There is no one specific song that can be 100% totally accurate on all that needs to be said concerning the Bible. With that said, there is no one Scripture that is 100% totally all that needs to be said concerning salvation. And so if that's the case, then what we have to do is continually look into God's Word. This sermon here, for the most part, is probably pretty rudimental for most of you. It's very elementary, but at the same time, we live in a time that even the most logical concepts are being misrepresented. And it's no different in the church today. And so, as we said, it was Paul's desire for all his brethren to be saved. And I pray that that is, and when he says brethren there, he's referring to it as a nationality thing, not as that they are already Christians and we are brothers and sisters in Christ. You got to understand that in the language in which they talked. But so we are reminded, as Paul shares through this, that they have established a zeal. They seem excited for God. Do we run into those type of people throughout our course of our week? We do. And yet, Paul says it's not according to knowledge. For someone to say that the Jews are God's chosen people today, that is not according to knowledge. That is according to some heartfelt scheme or mindset that they've worked up outside of the Word of God. For they have not come to the knowledge of God's righteousness, but they established to seek their own. And why is that? Because their righteousness works for them. See, God's righteousness gives us then checks in our life that need to be balanced with Scripture. And they do not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. And so as we see that here in this thought of who is Paul talking to, telling them that they are saved by grace through faith, when? Well, when they come to the realization that their sin has put Jesus Christ on the cross. Even those that were there on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, were the ones that physically had helped nail Jesus to that cross. And that's why Peter told them that they needed to repent. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Right? How about Luke 13:3? Jesus even said that unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. It didn't say you Gentiles must repent and you Jews are okay. Jesus was speaking to the Jews. Peter was speaking to the Jews that repentance is needed by all. Confession to the Lord. Matthew 10:32, therefore everyone who confesses me before men, I will confess him before my Father who is in heaven. The only question I've got for you here is that Jesus says that it's going to be before my Father in heaven. I'm asking you, is it your Father that's in heaven? Because Jesus even tells the Jews and the leaders of the Jews that you are of your father, the devil. And so they need to repent and confess him as Lord. And then we see that they are immersed into his name for the remission of sins and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which we had just started to quote you, Acts chapter 2, 38 and 39. Repent, and each of you be baptized. And this is to the Jews that he is speaking to on the day of Pentecost. Possibly 3 million Jews in attendance to hear this message. Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promise is for you and your children, that's the Jews and the Jews' children, and for all who are far off, now that's us, the Gentiles. As many as the Lord God will call to himself, and as we know from Scripture, and we shared in Sunday school class, and as a reminder of what Troy Northrup has said, is that Jesus Christ, and Troy took it straight from Scripture as well, that God has foreordained the plan. Foreordained the plan. He has not foreordained the man. In other words, we all have a decision to make, and that's what Paul is telling them. In my heart's desire, it's for them to come to be obedient to the Lord. Anything different might be with zeal. And boy, we'll run into people who are hyped up and excited about serving Jesus. However, it is without knowledge. The knowledge must be what comes from the Word of God. Again, and I share this so often, and I try to share this with the high school Bible class, is just remember the Holy Spirit never works outside of the Word of God. So then let's take Paul's scenario and his thoughts right now and apply them to our own. Let's try to make this a little applicable this morning. Paul obviously has in mind those whom he wants to be saved. I would hope that you as Christians here have friends, family, or neighbors that have not been saved. Why do I say I hope that? Well, because if you've already done your job, then Scripture says maybe we need to move on. So who would you like to see to be saved? We have all people in our life and in our mind that we'd like to see become Christians, do we not? Let's just start with a physical aspect of our prayer list. Is everyone on our prayer list, and I don't know everyone that's on there, but is everyone that's on the prayer list that somebody from this audience has submitted, are they Christians? Because that is far more important than their earthly ailment. Okay? Not saying we're wrong to have a physical prayer list. But if we have enough gumption to say we want them on the prayer list for their physical needs, then how much more is it important that we put them on our prayer list for their spiritual needs? Notice so many times in Scripture when Jesus went about to heal somebody, he took care of their healing first and then talked to them spiritually. So here we are. We're doing everything we can do physically. So now why don't we take the time to talk to them about the spiritual things? You know what? I've had your name on the prayer list at our congregation at Harlan, and the saints have been praying for you. And you know what? I guess I'm just curious, where are you in your walk with Jesus? Is it according to knowledge? Or is it because you feel you're good in a good spot? Because you know what? Especially those that are maybe in terminal positions on their prayer list, you just might be surprised how much they'd really listen to you. And so here's our challenge for the next 30 days. We've all got someone that we want to see saved, don't we? Someone. All right, three of you. That's good. That's good. Maybe by the end we'll convince a little few more. But if you live in a world where everybody that you're in contact with is saved, your world is too small. However, you being the influence on them, them not being the influence on you. For the next 30 days, pray for that individual, not just for their physical ailment, pray for them for their spiritual ailment. This is what Paul is saying. It's my heart's desire that they would come to the true knowledge of the Lord. Because only coming halfway, only coming three quarters of the way isn't going to get it done. And you know what? As you pray for them for these 30 days, it will take patience. It will take an effort on your part to talk with them, because I venture to say if you can pray for them, then we ought to at least talk to them about it. For hasn't the Lord been and continues to be very, very patient with us all, saved or not? 2 Peter 3, 9 and 10, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away and a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Again, another falsehood being taught on the religious radio today is this whole idea of the rapture and you having a second chance to get it all worked out. I've had my house broken into and thieves come in and take things out of it. I never got a postcard. I never got a text message. I never got a phone call. As a matter of fact, they showed up when I wasn't ready. And they even stole a case of Mountain Dew right off my kitchen table. Heresy, heresy. But what I'm saying is that these things that happen, says it's going to come like a thief. The heavens will pass away and the elements will destroy, be destroyed with an intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Are we ready? Patience is important for sure. However, urgency is most eminent. The ultimate salvation of Christ's return is closer now than ever before. Oh, that was a brilliant statement, Dave. Right? But you know why I quote it? Because Scripture gives it the same way. Romans 13:11, doing this, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to be awakened from sleep, for now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. And this salvation that is being talked about isn't a coming faith of salvation in Christ. This is when our salvation from this world is recognized. And we no longer have to embark on this journey here, but get to take one to heaven. The time is now for us to share our faith in action. Remember, that's what we're told about. Remember, oh, somebody's cold. I will pray for you. No, we've got to put it into action. Somebody's hungry. I will pray for you. As I'm eating lunch today, you will be on my mind. No, that doesn't work. We've got to carry it out in action. Is it true that the ones that we talk to and teach may never become Christians? Yeah, that's a possibility. You may talk to your neighbors and your relatives and your friends until you're blue in the face. And they may not choose to obey. However, I can guarantee this, that if you never talk to them about Christ, they never will obey. You may have been sent to be the one to share that message with that special individual. And so we ask, what is the end game? What are we shooting for? I think we all ought to stop and ask that occasionally from time to time in our life, whether it's our physical life or our spiritual life. So what is the end game? Are we to fake this thing called Christianity? Or would he come across as being spiritual and holy? Well, when it comes to salvation, Christ is our end game. He is the end game for our salvation, for our righteousness, and for our belief. You know, one of the things that so many people get wrong is that our salvation does not stop with our belief. As a matter of fact, that's only the beginning. Our belief, our trust, our faith is actually what leads us to the next steps in following Jesus. Because why would a person repent if they never believed? Why would someone confess Jesus Christ if they're not willing to repent? Why would someone be immersed if they're not willing to call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Why would someone try to live a faithful and good life as a Christian if they've never become a part of the body of Christ? And yet we see day by day, we see it in our own lives, with those that we come in contact with, that we see those that have a desire for salvation, but it's not in accordance to knowledge. It's not in accordance to the Word of God. It's not in accordance to what the Bible says. Yes, we say that Jesus loves me, this I know. How do we know? For the Bible tells me so, right? And what has he done for us? He didn't just throw it out there, I love you. I love you, man. I love you. And neither should we do the same. Romans chapter 9 and verse 3, Paul says that he wishes that he could be accursed, that he could be separated from God for the sake of his brethren. Now, how many of us feel that way? Right? That's pretty rough. That I would go to hell, be separated from God, so that others could go to heaven. You know, this is one of those things that Paul said that I bet he's really thankful doesn't have to happen. But Paul said he'd do it if necessary. But you see, Paul doesn't have to go to hell so that others can go to heaven. Paul can go to heaven and take others with him because of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ, as we're told in John 14, verse 6, is the only way to the Father. We want to gather around the throne as we sang earlier, right? Gather at the river, right? As Revelation tells us, there's going to be that river of life flowing through that area where we can be for all eternity. And it only comes to us through the way of the Father. And salvation only comes to us by way of the Son, by Jesus Christ. You know, we've had youth rallies we've had two of them in the last month or so. Messages, great messages. And that's really got me thinking. And after one of them, I think I was talking to Kyle Mullett and maybe even Jason Stoner. But we hear messages about the truth. You know, and I'll pop in and watch something on YouTube and they'll give a faith-only response at the end of the sermon. Come and ask Jesus into your heart, and people just flood down the aisles. But we've had revival. We've had youth rallies and messages where the truth is being presented. And as far as I know, yet one to answer the call. And so as we stop and we consider, is it our heart's desire? Is that what we long for? Would we give up our own soul for others to be obedient? You know, as I said, we're thankful we don't have to. Jesus Christ was nailed to that cross, gave up his life, a sinless, perfect life, for the sakes of us, so that we could be with him in heaven one day. So now, what's our end game? It should be this. Do what it takes to get to heaven and take as many people as you can with you. Amen? For this is my desire, for the salvation of all of those around us. Wouldn't it be great for us to be in heaven one day and everyone that you knew along the way be there as well. Now I know in that song or in that movie that we've referenced already today, they make a quote, baptism. You got to be dumber than a bag of hammers. Well, I'm just letting you know, you're dumber than a bag of hammers if you don't believe that it is through the blood of Jesus Christ that we are saved. We share in that death, burial, and resurrection. Buried with him in baptism. Arise to walk in a new life. You may have that. But let that be your desire for those that you come in contact with. They're going to come and lead us in our song of invitation this morning. If you're here and you're outside of Jesus Christ, we've already went through the plan of salvation three times in this message. Don't stand aloof. Don't act like it'll be okay. Respond today. Will you please, as we stand and sing?